Pro-Life to the Max is produced and broadcast by WOMB 89.9 FM Catholic Radio in Bloomington, Indiana.
Ave Maria, welcome to Pro-Life to the Max, a weekly half-hour radio program under the patronage of St. Maximilian Mary Kolbe that is dedicated to keeping you informed on local, state, and national pro-life issues and efforts and inspiring you to get involved. I'm Monica Siefker, your host for today's show, and I'm so very happy to be here with you. Thanks so much for joining me. Well, back in September of 2013, Pope Francis made some headline-grabbing statements when he gave a homily about politics, an opportunity which presented itself with the gospel reading for that day of the Roman centurion who had approached Jesus to ask him to heal his servant. In his remarks, the pontiff stated that a good Christian actively participates in politics in order to advance the common good and that he prays for his leaders, that they may love their people and serve them with humility. Sometimes we hear, a good Catholic is not interested in politics, Francis said, but this is not true. Good Catholics immerse themselves in politics by offering the best of themselves so that the leader can govern. Well, let's be honest. It's quite easy for us to not want to meddle in politics because of all the vitriol and divisiveness that is out there. Our political climate here in the U.S. is probably more polarized than ever before, and yet we are called to meddle in it. It's our grave duty. To talk about the obligation that we have to participate in the political life, as well as to help form our consciences on how to vote justly in the upcoming elections, we're going to enlist the help of Father Ignatius Manfredonia, the Father Guardian of the Franciscan Friars of the Immaculate, here at the Mother of the Redeemer Retreat Center. But before Father joins me, we'll get to the news and begin in prayer. O God, we acknowledge you today as Lord, not only of individuals, but of nations and governments. We thank you for the privilege of being able to organize ourselves politically and of knowing that political loyalty does not have to mean disloyalty to you. We thank you for your law, which our founding fathers acknowledged and recognized as higher than any human law. We thank you for the opportunity that this election year puts before us to exercise our solemn duty not only to vote, but to influence countless others to vote and to vote correctly. Lord, we pray that your people may be awakened. Let them realize that while politics is not their salvation, their response to you requires that they be politically active. Awaken your people to know that they are not called to be a sect fleeing the world, but rather a community of faith renewing the world. Awaken them that the same hands lifted up to you in prayer are the hands that pull the lever in the voting booth, that the same eyes that read your word are the eyes that read the names on the ballot, and that they do not cease to be Christians when they enter the voting booth. Awaken your people to a commitment to justice, to the sanctity of marriage and the family, to the dignity of each individual human life, and to the truth that human rights begin when human lives begin, and not one moment later. Lord, we rejoice today that we are citizens of your kingdom. May that make us all the more committed to being faithful citizens on earth. We ask this through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And let's go now to this week's In the News. According to a recent Pew Research Center survey, a full 77% of Democratic and Democrat-leaning Catholic adults believe that abortion should be legal in all or most cases, aligning themselves more with a political party than with church teaching. The poll gives lie to the idea that most Catholic Democrats begrudgingly accept their party's platform and vote for the party's candidates solely for the reason that there are other weightier issues than abortion. The survey seems to indicate that a significant majority of Catholic Democrats simply agree that killing unborn children is an acceptable practice. And in an op-ed piece for the Catholic Times, the bishop of the Diocese of Springfield, Illinois, has asked Catholics to consider how Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, the Democratic candidates for the highest offices in the land, want to see abortion set in stone and force American taxpayers to fund it by overturning the Hyde Amendment. In his letter, Bishop Thomas Paprocki contrasted the two major political parties' platforms on the issue of abortion with the Republican Party supporting the fundamental right to life life of the unborn child, and the Democratic Party supporting legal abortion up to the moment of birth without any restrictions. Referencing the USCCB's voter education guide, Bishop Paparocki said that abortion remains the preeminent priority because it directly attacks life itself. It is preeminent in that it is the basic human right on which all other rights depend, he wrote. After all, if a baby is killed before abortion, that person will never be able to exercise any other human rights. And in a new document released from the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith and approved by Pope Francis, assisted suicide and euthanasia are described as intrinsically evil. The Church is convinced of the necessity to reaffirm as definitive teaching that euthanasia is a crime against human life because in this act, one chooses directly to cause the death of another innocent human being, the document reads. The letter urges society to support hospice, palliative care, and pain management for those who are terminally ill, and calls for the rejection of abortion by instead supplying perinatal hospice for unborn babies diagnosed with fatal conditions. The document also condemns those who take part in abortion, euthanasia, and assisted suicide, and describes those politicians who approve of them as quote-unquote accomplices of a grave sin. And finally, no abortions were performed this past Thursday at the Bloomington Planned Parenthood. For the past 2 months now, abortions have only taken place there every other week, with the great result of the number of unborn children killed there at 421 South College Avenue being cut in half. This recent turn of events is being seen as some of the good fruit being produced as a result of all the 40 Days for Life campaigns that have been held there over the years. The current campaign got underway this past Wednesday and will continue until Sunday, November 1st. You can sign up to be a part of this growing worldwide effort to end abortion by going to 40daysforlife.com/Bloomington. And that's your weekly in the news. Well, as she does in everything she asks of us, Holy Mother Church is there to provide her teaching and guidance on how we as Catholics can best exercise our rights and duties to participate in the governance and political life of our country. And now more than ever, we need her help and wisdom on how we can best contribute to a civil and respectful public dialogue so that we can help advance the common good and the inalienable rights of every single person, those already born and those who are preborn. Now, choosing leaders who will labor toward these ends is a serious responsibility that we all have. But how do we work through the various issues that our nation is facing to elect politicians that will help to bring authentic peace and security to our land? Well, we certainly need the light of Catholic teaching. And here to discuss that with me on today's Pro-Life to the Max show is Father Ignatius Manfredonia, Father Guardian of the Franciscan Friars of the Immaculate here in Bloomington. Father Ignatius, thank you so much for setting aside some time to be with us today to discuss what is no doubt a difficult subject to tackle, politics and voting.
It sure is. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, we'll put you in the hot seat. I know, I think it was G.K. Chesterton that said, all government is an ugly necessity. And I think maybe a lot of us feel that way a lot of times.
Yes, it certainly can be.
Okay. So let's first start off by establishing what the Church teaches about the duty of Christians to be involved in the political life, especially as it does, as it concerns voting.
Right. Well, first I would say that, you know, it's really not just Christians that the Church would say have a obligation to participate in political life, but really every single citizen, because, you know, it pertains to natural law. That is, the care that we should have for our neighbor and his good, okay, this is just natural law that we care for one another. And so everyone should be involved, but much more so the Christian who has not only the natural law and the light of reason to go by, but also the light of faith. You know, and our Lord said, love your neighbor as yourself. So involvement in political life is really one aspect of loving our neighbor, and a very important aspect, okay, to care about the circumstances of life, how to live in society, how to create conditions that are just and conducive to everyone, to finding fulfillment in who and what they are called to be. So, yeah, the Christian, in virtue of this second greatest commandment, has an obligation, a responsibility of charity for neighbor to be involved in political life. And, of course, that involves voting, right? We have the privilege in this country that we can cast a vote, and it's a right for us here in the United States, and it's also a duty, a moral obligation for which, you know, we have to answer to God. But, you know, just beyond the judgment of God, you know, right, again, as I said, it's really in line with loving our neighbor, okay? So we need to vote with that charity for neighbor in mind.
Okay, that's just excellent points there, Father. Thanks. So how should one go about forming his conscience then on how to vote responsibly?
Right. So I would say that really there are two things that we can do to form our conscience and to vote responsibly and to vote well. Okay, and the first way is supernatural, because ultimately, you know, we want to be moved by the Holy Spirit. We want to be moved by God in everything we do. So not just with the vote that we're casting, but in everything in our daily life. We want to really be instruments of the Holy Spirit. And so that requires prayer. It requires a virtuous life. It requires frequent reception of the sacraments. And so, you know, if we are living the Christian life in its fullness, then we are disposing ourselves to be instruments of the Holy Spirit, meaning he is able to activate his gifts within us, okay? And one of those gifts is the gift of counsel, okay? So we want the gift of counsel to be enlightening the decisions we make so that they are really ordered to what is good, okay? So, you know, that's the supernatural element to, you know, kind of forming your conscience in the sense of disposing yourself to the action of the Holy Spirit. But then there's the natural, right? And that is study, you know, study and reflect. Study on the teachings of Christ as presented to us by Holy Mother Church. And, you know, in particular, we're blessed here in the United States that the bishops of the U.S. have produced this document entitled Forming Consciences for Faithful Citizenship. So it's a wonderful document. It's a little bit lengthy maybe for the average person. And so the bishops have come up with a summary of this document in two parts, but it's a total of 4 pages, and it's a wonderful summary. Again, for people, I understand people are busy, and the bishops know that too. And so, again, they produce this document. Let's read it prayerfully, and again, ask for enlightenment from the Holy Spirit and that gift of counsel.
Okay, good. And where can people find this document?
Oh, they can find it online. Again, it's Forming Consciences for Faithful Citizenship. The USCCB website has it there. You can download it, PDF. You can read it on your device, on your phone. So it's a convenient tool as we prepare for election season.
Okay. And do you have copies of that? I think I noticed in the chapel. Is
right.
Correct?
And so this summary was actually produced for pastors to have in their parishes so that, you know, the faithful have easy access. They can see it, grab it, take it home. And like I said, study it.
Okay.
Yes.
And I know you mentioned the role of prayer, which is so very important and easy for us to overlook. So, but do you have any specific maybe devotions or intercessors that we might try to
invoke? Well, I would really recommend the Rosary, because the patroness of our country is the Immaculate Conception. So Our Lady is ready to help us out, to guide and lead our country according to the will of her Son. So, you know, let's pray the Rosary. Let's invoke Our Lady, Mother of Good Counsel, so that we make good choices that are in conformity with the will of Christ.
Yeah, and I can't help but think of St. Maximilian Mary Kolbe, too, who was alive just during a very difficult period, too, with all the political things going on with Hitler and the world, too, today. So he might be a good intercessor for us, too.
Absolutely. And certainly he was involved with forming consciences by means of his magazine, which had over 1 million publications. And again, just bringing the light of Christ through the Immaculate to people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So let's get down to a little more detail here. So what would you say are the most important issues to focus on before we cast our ballot?
Right. Well, I think, again, just following the wise guidelines of the bishop, we want to acknowledge that all of the issues are important. So it's the bishops are really trying to strike a sound balance because, you know, oftentimes, you know, this is Pro-Life to the Max, we're going to be talking about the issue of life. And it is a very important issue. But a lot of times, you know, people who are pro-life and highlighting the importance of that issue, they get criticized for being one-issue voters. Mm-hmm. And so the bishops are very aware of, no, we don't want to be labeled one-issue voters. And in fact, we should not be one-issue voters. But it also depends on what you mean by one-issue voter, right? So a person can mean you're a one-issue voter in that that's the only issue that you look at, okay? And that is not what the Christian should be. No, the Christian considers all of the issues because there are many issues that are important to us, okay? Now, by one voter, one-issue voter, you can also mean an issue that is most important because of this, that, and the other reason. Okay, well, that's not necessarily wrong if, after having considered all of the issues, this one happens to be the elephant in the room and making a massive impact compared to the other issues. Okay, so it's simply a matter of defining your terms, keeping a good balance. And so, you know, when we talk about most important issues, the bishops themselves in their document, they acknowledge, they say, the threat of abortion is our preeminent priority in this election, okay? I mean, it's the preeminent priority as far as establishing a just society is concerned. So the bishops acknowledge that very early on in the document. So, you know, if we had to really pinpoint one most important issue, well, that's the one. And again, it's reasonable to see why that's the most important issue. Because, you know, when we're talking about politics and the common good, and we're talking about justice. And this happens to be the issue where the gravest injustice is happening. Why? Well, because we're dealing with the most innocent members of society. We're dealing with the most vulnerable members of society. We're dealing with those who cannot stand up for themselves, who have no voice. Okay, so not only that, but then we're talking about the magnitude, the scale of what's going on. I mean, you know the numbers better than I do, right? So for these reasons, you know, it is really the elephant in the room. I mean, if you can't get this issue right in governing society, you don't have much hope, okay, of bringing about justice for those who do have life, okay, and for the poor and the immigrant and all of the rest. I mean, where are your principles if you are legally eliminating the poorest and most vulnerable, those who have no voice, the most defenseless, and the most innocent? Where are your principles if you can't get that one right? You know, what is the principle upon which you are operating to establish justice in other areas? Mm-hmm. You know, it would be, you know, more one of political convenience, I would imagine, you know, but certainly not one of moral principle. So, you know, that really is the most important issue, as the bishops acknowledge. But like I said, at the same time, they do not accept that label of being one-issue voters. No, we are interested and concerned about many issues.
What about issues that are also very foundational, like that of the family and marriage?
Absolutely. So we acknowledge that Life is a foundational issue for, again, obvious reasons, because without life, you can't exercise any other rights. So another foundational issue, of course, would be that of the family. The reason being is because the family is the fundamental unit, the building block of society itself. And so, in fact, because of that, your society is only going to be as strong and vibrant as the individual families that make up society. If your families are a wreck, okay, if they are weak, if they are divided, if there's people are living with a great sense of insecurity, anxiety within their family, then society as a whole is going to reflect that. So very important to have healthy and strong families, to have a healthy and strong society.
Yeah, that's an excellent point. And, you know, also, Father, I'm thinking about, too, another foundational issue, religious liberty, because we've got a lot of candidates out there now that are really, they want to create laws that will force doctors and other healthcare providers to perform abortions or to do the transgender surgeries. And they're really going after that. So, how do we respond to that?
Right. I mean, that would be another important issue. Because, because of recognizing somebody's freedom of conscience, right? That's what Americans wear into freedom, and rightly so. And so we should certainly acknowledge the legitimate freedom of conscience of those who profess faith and are people of faith and want to live their lives according to that faith.
And another, I'm just kind of throwing out some just what I see as just big, like you said, elephants in the room. Another thing, too, we've got lots of candidates that want to take away the Hyde Amendment, and then that's going to force taxpayers to pay directly for abortion. Again, you consider that a pretty major thing as well?
Yeah, I would group that with our first issue on that of abortion, you know, and so, of course, any forced participation in that manner of paying for it by means of our taxes is unjust.
Okay, so all these things really should be at the forefront of our minds when we go to cast our ballots then, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. So if a candidate is running for office, endorses things that are contrary to the natural law, can we simply dismiss that candidate?
Well, I wouldn't say that you can simply dismiss that candidate, because you have to look at what is going on across the entire spectrum, because you might have a list of candidates who all reject something that pertains to natural law.
Mm-hmm.
So then what do you do,
then
right?
What do you do?
So I wouldn't say that you can or should automatically dismiss a candidate because they support something that is contrary to the natural law. You need to take a closer look. You know, I suppose at that point, you know, you're looking to see if this candidate could be a lesser evil than other candidates. I mean, if all of the candidates reject something that pertains to natural law, okay, now we're looking at the lesser evil. You know, how can we bring about the most good, even though we don't have any ideal candidates?
Okay. All right. Now, there are those who put forth the idea that there is more to being pro-life than opposing abortion. You kind of hinted at this before.
Mm-hmm.
They say we should consider the issues of people dying from hunger, people who are dying from lack of affordable health care, gun violence, and all the other societal injustices. So it's this comprehensive understanding of protecting life, they say, that will justify voting for a pro-abortion candidate. So can a case be made for such reasoning?
Well, again, I think it depends on the circumstances. I mean, if you lived in a society which largely valued life and largely acknowledge the evil of abortion, and if abortion were something that women had recourse to in extremely rare circumstances, you know, if there were one or two abortions per year, then I would say yes. Well, okay, let's look at other issues and let's balance these issues on the scales. You know, abortion is legal. It's happening once or twice a year, and we've got other important issues which deal with human dignity. Mm-hmm. I would say, okay, you know, that sounds reasonable. However, that isn't the case, unfortunately, in the United States and throughout most of the world, from what I understand. Mm-hmm. And, you know, one of the reasons is, to be honest with you, is that the law educates.
Yes.
You know, if it's legal, young people are taught that it's right. And that's the terrible place that we're in of having an unjust law.
Yeah. And just to put a number to it, there's an average of 2,700 unborn children killed every single day in the United States. That's just unbelievable.
Massive.
Directly.
Yes.
Directly, you know. And so it's not just from these estimates that are indirect from policies that are in place. This is the direct killing.
Right.
And because of the law. So that kind of puts things in perspective as well.
It is really the silent Holocaust that is
yes.
going on around us on a daily basis.
Yeah, yeah. Now, I've heard a lot of Catholics make the argument that if we want to effect change in the area of abortion, then we have to first use the art of persuasion and also support pregnant women and not worry about changing the law. Now, is this good reasoning, do you think, in line with church teaching?
Well, you know, again, we want to have balance, and I would say we want to do both, okay? We do want to use the art of persuasion. Now, to not worry about changing the law, I certainly wouldn't phrase it that way, because if a person wants to go the route of the art of persuasion and as reducing abortions, you need to have as the ultimate goal changing the law, because this is an unjust law. So there can be differences of opinion on the best way of reaching the end. You know, the end game is to change the law and that no woman would ever think about wanting to have an abortion. So really, it's not even just about changing the law. It's about forming consciences, as we mentioned, and forming good citizens who have the moral compass right and would never even think of having an abortion. That is the end, okay? And so, you know, there can be a discussion on the best way of arriving at that end.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Good. All right. So we're running out of time, of course. It always goes so quickly. So any final comments for us, Father Ignatius?
Well, you know, I really want to encourage a respectful dialogue, because the climate that we're in right now, the political climate, is one that is quite filled with vitriol and strong passions, and, you know, even leading to violence, right? So we need to have respectful dialogue. You know, if you're convinced that the truth is on your side, then you should not feel threatened when other people disagree with you. And so let's bring our ideas to the table. Let's have a respectful dialogue, discussion, and debate, and all of these things. So and not resort to violence, you know, these excessive measures, you know. I mean, you know, let's really examine our hearts and have truth and goodness and patience, all of these virtues, you know, that make up the Christian life. Let's bring all that into the public square.
Okay, and on that note, I will thank you so much for being our guest here today, Father Ignatius, and thank you for helping guide us as we make some pretty crucial decisions come Election Day, November 3rd, or even before then if we're voting early. So God bless you for everything that you and the Franciscan Friars of the Immaculate do for love of God and souls.
Thank you for having me.
Our Lord said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." America will only be blessed to the extent that her citizens follow God's laws that are written on the hearts of all. No matter what happens in this upcoming election season, we must remember that all things work together for the good of those who love him. Ultimately, no government can save us. Only God can. We must continue to be courageous in preaching the truth, first and foremost by the example of our very lives, and then using words when necessary. Prayer and fasting, too, are an indispensable part in obtaining the necessary graces for changing hearts and building up a culture of life and love. I'm out of time. Thanks so much for joining me. Until next time, let us heed the warning of St. Maximilian Mary Kolbe that the most deadly poison of our time is indifference. Let's pray for one another that we may be consumed with the desire to save lives and souls, to give the greatest possible honor and glory to God. Ave Maria.
Thank you for listening to Pro-Life to the Max, a production of WOMB Catholic Radio. To learn more about this program and how you can help us to continue to produce and broadcast this content, visit us online at WOMBradio.com.